We've had a big week for our music team, haven't we? They've been working hard and doing very well. Very good. Now, it's a little bit different tonight, and we're in the middle of Vision Week, and so what I want us to do, we're actually going to be applying the key verse that I've got for our Vision Week. As you know, I was talking to someone else today and saying, you know, it's funny doing Vision Week because the vision never changes. And never will. But we just keep going and pressing in and make, sort yourselves out. And making that application, for those who don't know, they're just trying to figure out husbands and wives sitting together. Adrian's kicked his wife out for a week. So anyway, that bit young for that sort of thing. But anyway, so be it. But Vision Week's really good because it gives us a chance to really refocus ourselves and to get onto it. And the verse that God's just been increasingly putting on my heart this week is that Ephesians 4 verse 16. And while you find it, I'll tell you, I went and saw Matt Lesmana this afternoon. So for those who got the prayer request that went around, others wouldn't even know. But everyone knows Matt, don't you, from the Coonawarra Church. He does stuff with our teams in China and all that sort of gear. And yesterday at his work, he works in a Chinese restaurant, or a Thai restaurant, whichever one it is, Chinese, I think. And one of the gas jets blew off, which is what it ended up was, and the flame came out and went straight in his face, basically. Just amazing preservation. I mean, he had to go to the hospital and all that sort of stuff, but the doctor looked at him and they checked his eyes, they checked his throat, they checked his blood work, all of that, no effect whatsoever. And the doctor said, that's a miracle. He said, with what you've experienced, you should have problems with your eyes, and you should have problems you should have infections in the lung and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, he's got very brown marks on his face and blisters on his lips and on the ears, but he's actually pretty comfortable and got some pain and stuff, but going well. So thanks for those who prayed for that, and those who weren't aware of that, now you are. And just keep praying for those, and obviously lots of other needs that are always on the go. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4, 16. Just by the way, I got a phone call today too from a guy who, we've got an Australian missionary in the north of China, and he wants to put three guys into our next micro enterprise program. This thing is going to go ape. We just got to pray that this first one actually works. I can just see this thing exploding. So anyway, that's good. That's God's business, isn't it? Ephesians 4, verse 16. The best thing about that is the guy that was talking to me is prepared to pay for it. That was the best thing about that. Got these guys. I said, well, you're prepared to pay for it. I think we'll work something out. Verse 16. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, as I said on Sunday, I think I probably unreasonably exegeted that or interpreted that as basically the two things, grow and build itself up. And I just found God's really been speaking to me this week about those two things, that the body grows and the body builds itself up. And if you think about it as a human body growing, not getting, as I said the other day, not just getting bigger, but growing, then those two things have got to happen. The body is going to grow, and that is a predetermined thing that's going to happen. And I think we've got to get in our heads that God is in the business of building his church, and he will work in the hearts of men and women, and that will happen. And in your workplace and among your friends and the people that you know, God is at work. And I think we've got to really get that one in our hearts, because I know that you can get to a point where you go, oh, I just give up. You know, God's not at work. We don't, you know, what's happening? Nothing's happening. And I think we've got to get it into our hearts, into our heads. God is at work in our situation. He is working. He is growing and developing his body. That's his job. That's what he does. And then, so that growth of that body is going to be a natural occurring thing, and it is going to happen. But the health of that body is another thing altogether. How healthy that body is about the body building itself in love. And so if someone loves their physical body, then they'll, you know, eat the right foods and get some exercise and all that sort of stuff, and they'll actually build a healthy body. And I'm coming to the place of, it might be a slight heresy, but I'm pretty much at the place where I think that's our job. I think that we have the responsibility to build in love, because the scripture there says that the body, if you look at verse 12, it talks about leaders who prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. What's building up the body of Christ? The works of service of the people of God. I think the building up of the body is actually our job. I think it's your job and my job. I think it's what we do together to build that body healthy. And so I guess when you go from church to church, you see what's happening in some groups, some organizations, and some are incredibly unhealthy. And what's that about? Well, it's about what the people are doing within that organization, within that body. And then you go to another place and it's incredibly healthy, great attitude, great spirit, all that. Why? Is God doing something different in those two places? I don't think so. I think it's about what the people are doing in that situation. Are they building the body in love, or are they tearing it down and ripping it to shreds? What's going on? And I think it helps us probably to realize that in both areas, both God and us have a role to play. But I think the emphasis is probably in the area of growing. That's what God does. If you get my drift, we have to be involved as well, but God does that. And in the area of building up, it's we do it under the empowering and enabling of the Holy Spirit. And I think it probably helps us to have that kind of understanding of the growing and the building up. And so last week, and I do want to just review on what Sunday, just touch on some of that, and we're going to apply some of that. We talked about growing, the body growing. This week, this Sunday, you get a preview, I'm going to speak about building itself up in love. And we're going to come out of that passage and we're going to get some key thoughts out of there about how we actually go about building up in love. So I'm not going to talk about that much tonight, because then you won't come on Sunday. And if you do, when you do come, then you won't be as surprised and excited and have so much revelation. So we won't go there. They're building up the body. That's right. Their attitude will be good. They'll be positive and communicative and uplifting and all that. Yeah, that's right. And especially, no, I won't go there. Okay, Ephesians 4:16. So grows and builds itself up. So what's going to happen tonight is we're going to touch on some of the key elements of what I feel God's saying to us about these areas. And you're actually going to do some work. This is interaction time. So you can't just sit back there and relax and survive another 40-minute message, or be blessed by another 40-minute, whichever way you go on that. Can I just tell you how to enjoy every message? Have I told you this? Charlie Tremendous Jones. Look it up somewhere and listen to some of his stuff. Very amusing chap. But he will tell you how to enjoy every message that you ever hear in life. Does anybody want to know? Does anybody remember? I've told you this before. Does anybody remember what it is? You don't remember? Charlie Tremendous says that when you take notes, you sit there and you don't write down anything that I say. Now, I would say that I probably say enough good things to you. You want to write down some of that. Let me tell you, you want to write down some of that. But I tell you what, he does make the point. You write down what God says to you. And I actually agree with that 100%. That in every note, every message that I have, particularly when I used to take my notes on paper, I would have boxes in the paper, and there'd be notes of what the person's saying, and then there'd be these boxes of what God was saying to me in response to that. And I still do it with the little electronic stuff as well, and I'll put brackets and I'll take notes, and I'll have brackets what God's saying to me. And I want to help you with that tonight, because we're actually going to stop for you to write down some of the things that God's saying to you about these areas. So I'm actually going to help you to go through that process, because I think one of the other things that's happening at the start of this year is God's wanting to get us onto this thing of really hearing His voice and flowing with the Holy Spirit. And so we've had the worship nights, we've had the two prayer nights that we've had, and a lot of that has been about us really listening to God and hearing from God. So we're going to do a bit of that tonight, and I need to keep moving. Okay, so the first thing is about the body growing. The first part is the body growing, and I've got two parts of that I want to highlight. So have a look at the scripture. Who remembers the scripture from Sunday? What was it about? Come on. Sunday. Yeah, so the scripture was about the guy sowing seed. Simple. Mark chapter 4, you remember? Mark 4, parable of the growing seed. He said, this is what Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like, Mark 4, verse 26. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces. I love that. I just love that little phrase. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Yet people go to town on weird and wonderful interpretations of those three things, which we're not going to do. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Heather was saying it, sowing, waiting, reaping. Simple process of growing the body of Christ. Sowing the seed, waiting for that to come to growth, and then invitation, bringing somebody into the kingdom of God. Now, there's two things that I want us to get out of that. The first one is very obvious, and that is that God brings the growth. Now, I need us to get this out of what he's saying. He says whether he does something or whether he does nothing, whether the farmer does something or nothing, that seed is growing. What is Jesus trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us and say, God will build the kingdom. You know, the scripture says even that if you labor without God, then your labor will be in vain. If God is not blessing and growing and increasing, God doesn't bring the increase, the laborer labors in vain. The work that we do, if God is not, if you're out there witnessing and evangelizing and you're meeting everybody in the street and you're at your workplace and you're doing all the stuff that you're doing, and if God is not breathing on it, then the Bible says that you are working in vain. Complete waste of time. But we know, so that tells us God is at work. God is at work. So, our premise that Jesus is giving us is that God is at work. In your workplace, hopefully in my workplace, but beyond, I think most of them are saved. Not sure about me, but the rest are pretty good. And my involvements in the community, I have to maintain that attitude of faith that says God is at work. When I went to soccer training this week, oh my goodness, 7 o'clock, please, dear Jesus, take away daylight saving very rapidly. It's funny to see guys my age, and I understand exactly why. We were playing skins and hair. It's just a great way to go. But it's funny to see one guy with his cap on, like it's 7 o'clock at night, and the guy's got his cap on. And I because they actually confuse me and him. They call him Ron and me Brian, because he's got less hair than I have. I got to say, I'm a bit offended by it. But anyway, but he's got his cap on. I said, mate, that's 10 degrees extra with that cap on. And he said, oh, stop my head getting. I said, sunscreen, man, what are you doing? And we're sorting it all out. But when I go to those guys, and they just, you know, the beers come out after. I find that intriguing. That you would run around and you're doing fitness sort of stuff, and at the end you open up the esky of beers, and that's why I come to training, have a few beers, and I'm just intrigued by all that. But I look at that and I got to say, in my heart, in my spirit, I have really got to work on this thing of saying God is at work, because if I look at that naturally speaking, I go, what on earth's going on? What am I doing here? You know, here we are. I don't know how many years it is. This is my third year, I think, of being involved with this group of guys. And I go, what's happening? But I have to come back to what Jesus said, that the seed grows all by itself. And there's been seed sown into those guys. They know who I am. I've invited them all to church for various events and stuff. Had little opportunities here and there to say a couple of things. Behavior on the field is slightly different to some of the guys that want to punch people out and fight and carry on. And so seed has been sown. So I have to come to this thing and say, well, God is at work. God is at work. And I want you to think about that tonight as well. How is God working in the people that you're praying for? Each of us, we regularly have our three or four people that we pray for, people that we're in contact with most days, certainly, you know, once, twice a week, and we regularly have times in our life group, in our house builders meeting, wherever, regularly have time where we pray for them. I want to ask the question, how is God, not is God working, that's the wrong question, how is God working in that person's life? The second question I want to ask is, who is ready for seed to be sown, and who is ready for the harvest? Because the scripture there says that the kingdom of God is like this. A bloke goes out and he sows seed, and God causes the seed to grow, and then he harvests the fruit. So the two things that I've got to do is sow seed and reap a harvest. They're the two things I've got to do. And so God does the rest. So how is God working? How is God working in the lives of those you're praying for? And secondly, who's ready for seed and who's ready for harvest? Now, that's not a rhetorical question. You're actually going to do that. So I want you to take a piece of paper. If you're lacking in paper, then I have a whole bunch right here. You can do it on your iPhone if you wish. That's fine. That's what they're for. And so someone help me. Tom, you can help me with that. You can run around with those to anybody who needs them. If you're lacking a pen, then we have some pens. And Tom's going to take those around with him as well. And those pens come from the office cupboard. So if they don't come back, then we will send office workers out to kill you. And then get the pen back. You know, it's just it's more important that we do the first than the second. Okay, so very quickly, what I want you to do is I want you to write down the names, three or four names of the people that you are currently praying for. People you're praying for every day, preferably, certainly several times a week. People that you're regularly praying for who are within your sphere of influence. People that you're reaching out to. People that, you know what I'm talking about. People that you are wanting to do, so you feel that God's put on your heart. Write their names down. Three or four of them. And now next to that, what I want you to do is I want you to ask the question, what is God doing in their lives? Take a couple of minutes. You're going to pray it through. What is God doing in their lives? And you say, I don't know what God's doing. Well, I suggest that you ask him. Say, God, what are you doing? God, what are you doing in their lives? And if he says, if you think he says nothing, then think about that a little bit and maybe tune a little bit more to the Holy Spirit. And what are you doing in their lives? What is God doing? Make a couple of notes. We should have, can we get some working music up the back? So that's the first thing. In the area of growing, it's God who brings the growth. So it's God's action. And we want to be always thinking and focusing around what is God doing. And as you're praying for those people, then be asking the question, what is God doing? For a couple of my guys, because they just seem so far away from God, I just quickly was praying. And for one guy, I felt God say that he was just keeping the door ajar so that that guy has a way back. I know this guy's background. I know what God's saying about that. That God's keeping the door ajar. And I've been feeling that. I've been feeling that the guy has just got no openness. There's no sort of responsiveness. But and so that helps me. God's saying, I'm just keeping the door ajar so that there's a way back for him. So I'm going to look now and pray into that and look for that way back and say, God, you know, do that. For another guy, it was similar. But the first time I had this thought, for one of the other guys, I felt God saying that he was trying to remind him what he believes in. I thought, that's really interesting. And so from now on, I'm going to pray for that guy, and I'm going to pray into that. What God's trying to remind him of what he actually believes. So he's shown no signs of believing anything. So I'm just interested. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying on that. So you get the idea? And then both of those, that actually gives me some direction in this year where to go. What's God trying to do in their lives? Okay, I can work with that. So I encourage you on that. Keep asking, what is God doing? And then obviously we're going to cooperate with what God's doing, whether it be a sowing of a seed, a bit of a blessing. And that brings me to the next thing, and that is in this area of growing, then we've talked about how the ground is cultivated. And from Sunday we talked about those two things. So Matthew chapter 5, salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, and if you lose your saltiness, then you're useless. You are the light. You're not hidden away, but you're on a hill. And in the passage where Jesus talks about that, it tells us that the light is, if you look at it, Matthew 5:16, he actually expands. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Clearly, our light is wrapped up in the blessing that we are to people. And so the question I have that's coming out of that is, how are my actions and my words affecting the soil? How is what I'm doing affecting the soil that God's trying to work in? And so he tells us that with light, it's about good deeds. And then from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it tells us specifically in terms of those who are outside. He says, pray that I might proclaim the gospel as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Always, that's challenging, isn't it? Always full of grace, seasoned with salt. So he tells us what the salt is. The light, we know, are the good deeds, the actions, the blessings that we are to people. And at least in some measure, the salt is the words that we speak, the graciousness of our attitude and our behavior. So the question I have coming out of that is, how am I going with blessing people, and how am I going with gracious speech, particularly towards those who aren't believers? Are my attitudes and actions, you know, am I blessing the soil? Am I actually hurting the soil? Am I adding to what God's doing, or am I taking away? And the questions are these: who am I blessing, and how are my words affecting the soil? Who am I blessing, and how are my words affecting the soil? So I'll write those two things up, and then I want us to get more specific. Who am I blessing, and how are my words affecting the soil? I want you to think about that over the last few days. If you think about the people that you're reaching out to, think about the people that are on your heart, maybe the last week, depending on when you've had. In amongst those people, who am I blessing? Who am I a blessing to in their life? And what am I doing to be a blessing? It's not good enough to say, oh yes, I'm a nice person, I'm a blessing. That's great, that's good. But how is that actually showing up? What's actually happening? In what way are you a blessing to the people that are on your list? In what way are you actually blessing them? In what if I went and saw them and I said to them, you know, think about the last week, last couple of weeks, in what way is Mitch, Luke, Toddy, whoever, in what way have they been a blessing to your life in the last week or two? Because that's the soil. That's the condition of the soil. That's the only contribution we can make to that condition of the soil and the growth. Who am I blessing? How that's showing up? And how are my words affecting the soil that God's got me working in? So the questions I have, I want you to think about is, in regard to this one, is the Holy Spirit prompting you to bless? So you look at your list of people, you pray about them, pray for them. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Is there something that you can do that He is prompting? Not just because we're going to keep trying to make something happen. We're going to work with the Holy Spirit on this. Is the Holy Spirit prompting you to do something in the life of one of those people? Or maybe somebody else. But what is the Holy Spirit prompting you about in terms of blessing? And on the other one is, I'll just put the word change. Do I need to change the way that I'm speaking to those who don't know the Lord? Those that are in my life, if I think about the conversations I've had with them, what have those conversations been filled with? Have they been filled with grace, a positive attitude, the blessing of God, or have they been filled with something else? I think if they've been filled with something else, then I'm probably not doing much good for the soil. If I'm in a workplace and I'm always full of negativity, I'm always pulling somebody down, maybe I'm critical of the boss or of the person or who knows what, then I don't know that that's full of grace. I suspect that's not full of grace. And the scripture tells me that when I'm speaking with outsiders, my speech needs to be full of grace in order that the soil be prepared for the work of God. And if I'm not doing that, I actually think I need to repent and change. Change is all about repentance. Repent means to turn around from what I'm doing and do something different. So I maybe need to repent and change and say, God, help me. I've got a bit of a negative mouth when it comes to the workplace, and I want to change that. I want to speak grace into my workplace. I want to speak grace into the lives of the people around me. I don't want to get caught up. You know what it's like. The world is full of negativity. It's full of criticism. Australia is one of the worst places on earth when it comes to judging other people. We think we're so tolerant, but every second word out of our mouth is pulling down somebody. So it's one of those places we have to decide we are not going to engage with the spirit of the world, but we're going to bring something different. And the Bible tells me that I can make a contribution here through gracious words. Gracious words. Interesting, isn't it? Really measure what's happening in the soil. If we were farmers, we would be measuring the soil, pH value and all that sort of stuff. We'd be measuring the soil. How much acid is in there? Is it too much acid in there for the thing to grow? Is there too much acid in the conversation for the seed of the Word of God to take root in someone's heart and life? And we can blame the devil, and we can blame the circumstance, we can blame the community, but maybe we're actually contributing by the way we speak and the attitude that we persist with, that prevails in those areas. And I think we need to look at that and say, God, is there something I can do here to change? Because I want to work with you. On this one here, you know, who's being blessed? And is there something the Holy Spirit is prompting me about? So I want you to think about think about those two things. Look at the list of names that you've got. Is the Holy Spirit prompting you about them, or maybe somebody else? Maybe just one or two things. Is there something that the Holy Spirit is prompting you about that where you can be a blessing to somebody? And then on the second one, is there something that you should change? If so, what is it? So you just write that down. Go. 30 seconds, 1 minute. Shouldn't take long. Well, you know, this is not waiting on God for 6 hours for the greatest revelation in life. This is just simple. Ask the question, get the response, go with it. You know, God wants us to think His thoughts after Him. That's the idea. So let's open our hearts and say, okay, God, what are you doing? We've got our thinking music. Did anyone, by the way, just get something really simple that they can bless somebody with, just to, as you were praying? Was there something that you can do to bless somebody? Just give us an example. Yes? Cool. Did you hear that one? One of Gabby's friends doesn't get to see her mum much, and they're looking at doing maybe a play date together to facilitate that. Isn't that good? That's cool. Anyone else? Just one thing, a simple thing. Oh, yeah. Yep. Did you hear that at the back? So being aware of how other people actually receive, communicate love, and then making sure we focus on that. It's good. So keep praying it through, you know, really simple stuff that we can do in order to focus in on what God's doing and then cooperate with Him, both in terms of being a blessing to people and in terms of the actual conversation, the way we're speaking to people. So was anybody challenged on the way that there's a little wave? Anyone challenged on the way they speak to people? Oh, a few. Okay, some big waves. Oh, just little waves on that sort of one. That's confessional time, just right there. This is glory to God wave. This is confessional time wave. Okay, and anyway, go for what you like. Okay, the last one, and we're going to talk about this much more on Sunday, but building itself in love, that the body builds itself up. And this is the internal role that we have in the church, is building itself up in love. Both discipling new people, but also just being a blessing to those of us that form the body, that we're actually building ourselves up. We're building each other up. Interesting, the scripture speaks a lot about being generous, and particularly to the household of faith. That the particular, we would think the focus should be outside, but the biblical emphasis is actually make sure that the body is being looked after. And that's an interesting little study in itself. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, just want to read those. We'll be looking at this a lot more on Sunday. But it says, apart from being blown around, it says, don't get, you know, if you get mature, you won't be blown around by teaching and all that sort of stuff and the cunningness of men and that kind of thing. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we know that we have a role within the body to be speaking in love and to be acting to build love, in love within the body of Christ. And so I want us to think a lot about that over the next few days. This is not some nebulous idea. I think in our Christian walk, sometimes we have this sort of, we have these values that we have. You know, we're going to be loving. And we sort of think because we talk about it or we hear someone talk about it that somehow we're doing it. Well, I want to get a whole lot more practical than that and a whole lot more real than that. And the question I'm asking is, what attitudes and words are you building with? Okay, what attitudes and words are you building with? And the reality is that can be either building up or it can be tearing down. And I want us to take a moment and have a good think about it. The attitudes and the words that I communicate with and that I'm building with in the life of the church, am I building up or am I tearing down with my attitudes and my words? What contribution am I really going to make? So I want you to really assess yourself carefully on this. And as I say, we'll focus more and develop this more on Sunday. But I'll just now, I want us to just focus in and say, okay, what am I doing? What are the best things that I do to build up? What do I do? What attitude of heart and life do I have, a positive confession? What is maybe one or two things that I do that I think really does build up, you know, the body? I actually contribute in some way and build up the body. And then maybe think about one or two things. What one or two things would God put his finger on and say, hey, that needs to change? There's actually something you're doing that's actually not building. It's actually causing problems. That gets a bit harder, doesn't it, to think about that. What am I doing that's positive and building up that I should do more of? And I don't just mean the things that I'm doing, but I hope you get my drift. It's more about the attitude of mind. It's about the words that I'm speaking. What's the focus? Is it a negative focus? Is it a critical focus? And we might be, like everybody in the room here is committed to the life of our church. So it's not about whether we're committed or not to the church. It's about what spirit am I bringing with me? And when I come into my department and I'm working with other people, what am I bringing into that? It's not about so much on Sunday coming in and being able to worship and say the right things for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning. That's helpful. That's better than doing the wrong thing. Okay, so that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But the thing that I'm getting at here probably more than anything else is, what do I bring in the areas where I'm working? Like, what do I bring to my life group? What do I bring to that working group within the youth program? What do I bring to that group of people I work with in the community area, you know, or whatever it is that I'm working in? What am I bringing to that? What spirit, what heart, what attitude, what words am I bringing into that environment? Scripture says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amazing statement. Life and death are in the power of what we speak. And so I'm asking, what are we speaking? What are we letting out of our mouth in those situations? And what would God speak to us about? So take a minute. You only have a minute. 1 or 2 minutes. And I want you to think about something positive. Something good, always good. Don't get all negative. Don't get all condemned, all right? Get something positive. Something you do, some word you speak, some approach, some attitude, whatever it is, that's positive. And over here, what is something that maybe God would challenge that's a negative that God would want to deal with? Amen? We've got a life group next week, and we'll be focusing on this area, particularly on Sunday, so you'll have more chance next week to get stuck into that and have a good look at it. The thing that's on my heart, I guess, in relation to all of this for us looking forward into the year, is to really build that expectation that God's at work, and then the second part of it is then to work with him. To get much more deliberate about saying, God, what do you want me to do? What are you doing? And just week in, week out, especially in your life groups, be encouraging each other with those sort of thoughts. You know, what's God doing? And then what promptings are you getting from God to actually work with the seed and the soil to get where God wants to go? Amen? So God wants to build. The vision that we have is for every one of our people, every believer at City Life, to baptize a friend. I just love that concept, that you would actually be, you know, leading someone to Christ, bringing them into baptism, discipling them and helping them to live out their walk, and that then, you know, next year or the year after, then they would be doing the same with one of their friends, so that we actually see that grassroots growth and multiplication take place. And this is how it's going to happen. God's going to work, and we're going to work with him, and he's going to bring the seed to growth, and we're going to cooperate with him. The words we're speaking, the things we're doing, the blessing that we are, they all contribute to that development. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your presence here with us tonight. And Lord, I pray, as we've just been very simply thinking about those few questions tonight, that you would let it stir in our hearts, that we wouldn't be able to leave this place and just shake it off, but there'd be something stirring inside of us. There'd be something stirring about the people that are in our lives and what you're doing with them and what you're doing in their hearts. That there'd be something stirring about the way that we're approaching our relationships, both with those who don't know you and within the life of the church. That you would keep on that and you would stir our hearts, and that there would be improvement and growth and change, that a more positive and a more productive outcome would be there as you lead us and guide us, both in the good things that we're already doing and also the things that you're wanting us to address in our own hearts. I just pray, Father, you do it. I pray you do it by your Holy Spirit and lead us to grow and become more and more like you each week, each day, each month, each year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.